Good morning. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm senior producer Rob Sivak, sitting in for Tom Hall. This morning, we want to talk about some of the reactions we've been hearing over the past week by many politicians in this country to recent terror attacks by ISIS, the self-styled Islamic State group responsible for the November 13th Paris killings, among other atrocities. And reactions also to the resettlement of Syrian refugees who are fleeing ISIS and the ongoing carnage of the Syrian civil war. The two subjects have become intertwined and, some say, confused in the public debate. Imam Mohammed Bashar Arafat joins us this morning to discuss how the Muslim community here in Baltimore is reacting to the growing chorus of anti-Syrian refugee and anti-Muslim rhetoric by U.S. governors, members of Congress, and presidential candidates. Imam Arafat is a native of Syria, serving in the 1980s as an imam in Damascus, but he's been living in the U.S. for 26 years. He was imam of the Islamic Society in Baltimore from 1989 to 1993. He's also president and founder of the Civilizations Exchange and Cooperation Foundation and currently serves as president of the Islamic Affairs Council of Maryland. He's taught at several universities in the Baltimore area, including Johns Hopkins, Goucher, and the College of Notre Dame, and runs exchange programs for university students. Imam Mohammed Bashar Arafat, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Has it been difficult recently to be a Muslim and a Syrian in the United States?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, for me, I have been really enjoying my life here in this country for the past 26 years. I have come to realize that really the people just, they don't know. But once they know, they have nothing but respect and kindness. And that's what I have seen even for the past 2 weeks. I mean, I have received so many, calls from other interfaith colleagues, whether they are rabbis or priests, saying that what's this? I mean, this is alien to the American culture. We have been there and we have done that after 9/11. We went through this Islamophobia and we have been forward now. We are moving forward. And this rhetoric, Imam, this is just, we feel that bringing us backward.
Indeed.
And this is where I really feel that what we are hearing, I mean, I understand that this is election time and the people are using those issues to really, you know, just score some points. But I don't think this is healthy. This is not healthy for America, especially when you go overseas.
Yeah.
And even here in the United States, I mean, for me as a Syrian who came 26 years and I, imam, teaching, doing interfaith programs, and most recently also conducting speakers programs through the State Department in more than 30 countries. And just last month, I came back from Uganda and Ghana, doing programs with the U.S. embassies there. We are trying to build bridges, you know, with those communities and those countries. And this kind of rhetoric really is not healthy at all, because I do get those responses from the people overseas. So, but for us here in this country, I mean, take these Syrian refugees. Even though I was just last Thursday listening to the Congress and the session last Thursday, and I was myself amazed to hear that since the whole issues of allowing Syrian refugees to come to the United States, almost 23,000 who applied and 7,000 were interviewed and only 2,200 who were allowed to come. We have, I mean, such a process to allow immigrants to come here that it's one of the hardest in the world. And I just, you know, I feel really sad to hear this about also the Syrian refugees, who we have never heard one of those people who came have committed any act of terror or anything to disturb the peace here in this country.
Yeah. Yet, nevertheless, we have this kind of rhetoric in the ether, in the media. I want to play a brief sample just to remind our listeners of just what kind of rhetoric is being used by several leading Republican presidential candidates last week, including two members of the U.S. Senate, and get your comments.
And surveillance is okay. If you don't mind, I want to surveil. I want surveillance of these people that are coming in. I want surveillance of certain mosques, okay? If that's okay. I want surveillance. And you know what? We've had it before and we'll have it again.
Those planes that flew into the Twin Towers weren't piloted by a bunch of ticked off Presbyterians.
If there's a rabid dog running around your neighborhood, you're probably not going to assume something good about that dog, and you're probably going to put your children out of the way. Doesn't mean that you hate all dogs.
Imam Arafat, as someone who's devoted so much of your life and career to promoting a better understanding of Islam, doesn't that sound like Islamophobia to you?
It does, and I'm so sad as an American to hear this kind of rhetoric that, for me as a Muslim, I cannot say it toward somebody who is a Christian or somebody who is Jewish. We have to separate between those who intend to do harms, whether they are, you know, Americans or non-Americans, whether they are Muslims or Christians or Jews. Because when I see somebody buying gun and he's on the terrorist watch list and still being able to buy a gun and go and shoot and kill innocent people just because his name is not Ahmed or Muhammad or he's not Muslim, nobody says anything about, you know, his religion. This is something really, not only the Muslim have to say, excuse me, this is wrong. Also, the peace-loving Americans, the Christians and the Jews and the Hindu and others, we all have to stand up that this will, you know, push us backward rather than making us move forward.
On 88.1 WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Rob Sivak, speaking with Imam Mohammed Bashar Arafat. Why do you think so many Americans perceive Islam so negatively?
To be honest with you, the Muslim community in the United States have to do better in terms of outreach. They are doing, but I think we should do more. As far as mosques, we have to do more interfaith activities. We have to do more programs, conferences, seminars, in order to create an atmosphere where people can ask questions. I mean, unfortunately, the media does not give moderate voices enough time. I get these questions all the time. Where are, you know, the moderate voices? Where are the scholars who say something against ISIS and against the terrorists? Well, excuse me, they are saying a lot, and there are so many statements, and there are so many fatwas. But the media is really interested in those who are, you know, creating conflicts. They are interested in ISIS. And who are those people who hijacked, you know, pieces of land from Syria and Iraq, and they created their own state in the midst of all of this chaos we have been seeing, not only in Syria, but also since the invasion of Iraq? We have to go backward also and say, what happened after we invaded Iraq? What are the mistakes have been done? We have to also blame ourselves into some of the things and the mistakes that happened over there that created all of this chaos over there. For me, as a Syrian, I hear from my mother, who is still in Damascus, and my family, who are still in Damascus, that, you know, all of those people, they are not Syrians. I mean, it's interesting to say here that ISIS, who is now in occupying those you know, regions, they are not Syrians themselves. So I just want the people to you know, to pause for a second and just go and let's review what was our foreign policy toward the whole region in the past 10 years. In the past 10 years. And then who are those Boko Haram? Who are those Al-Shabaab? Who are those all of these terrorist groups, do they really represent Islam?
And they do not, in your opinion.
Of course not, because the teachings of the Quran is completely different than what they are doing. I mean, they are doing harm to the Muslims more than the non-Muslims. Syrians, they have been, you know, running away from them now for years. You are seeing and hearing what they are doing to the Muslims before the non-Muslims, let alone doing things that is totally against the teachings of the Quran when they go and they kill, especially Christians and the Yazidis and others who have been living in peace for centuries in Syria.
Is your family safe in Damascus?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, they are living in Damascus right now as safe as they can be. But really, you know, you cannot predict, because there has been indiscriminate shelling, you know, in the past. But, you know, my mother and my father came here just a couple of months ago, but they don't want to stay. I tried to apply for them. They said, no, thank you. We don't want to leave Damascus. They came back. They like just to come and visit, and then they go back. But it's really sad to see the whole atmosphere right now here in the United States, where we have to go and reach out to one another and to strengthen our security by knowing one another. The Muslim community in the United States is in a much, much better shape than what's happening in Europe and the Muslim community in Europe.
Thank you. Imam Mohammed Bashar Arafat, president and co-founder of the Civilizations Exchange and Cooperation Foundation and currently president of the Islamic Affairs Council of Maryland. We've got more information about Imam Arafat and his foundation on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Rob Sivak. Ahead on Maryland Morning, we continue our focus on the public debate over Syrian refugees and what rights do they have anyway. Stay with us on 88.1.